Now, kids, I want you to think for a moment. What is something that you know of God? What do you know about God? Claire?
He's powerful.
Okay, he's powerful.
Perfect and holy.
Okay, perfect and holy. Okay, someone else. Oh, I thought Peter was putting his hand up then. Someone else. What do you know about God? Down the back there, Lachlan.
Omnipresence.
Can we ask you, Dad, what that means? He's everywhere, that's right. Andrew was quick. He's omnipresent, and if you want a good psalm to look at that, I think it's Psalm 139.
He makes miracles.
Okay, miracles. He knows everything, unlike what Peter said. So all those things we know about God. Now, recently, one of the fast food places have changed how they do and make hamburgers. And instead of being able to walk up to the counter and you get served with a customer service person, you're now able to, as you come in the door, you've got these little screens here and you punch in what you want on the hamburger. And you might say, well, yeah, I want a bun. Don't know how big I want a bun, but I want a bun. I want some meat on it. I want some pineapple on it. I want to, you've got to have a good Aussie hamburger. So you've got to have pineapple. You've got to have beetroot. I don't know if they allow those two, but anyway. Tomato, whatever else. So you put all that on the hamburger and it's there. And you'd make the decision as to what you want on your hamburger. So if Mark goes in there and he punches, I just want the bread roll.
No.
No? You want the works. Okay. Well, that's how you do. You make your own hamburger. Now, sometimes we treat God the same way. We do the same thing with God. Because we make the decisions as to what we want to see in God. So we decide, well, yeah, I want, as Linda said, a very loving God. I want that in God. And Linda might also say, well, I want an all-powerful God as well. He needs to be all-powerful. And it'd be good if he was all-knowing. Although that might concern me because he knows not only the good things about me, but also some of the not-so-good things. I want a God who's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So that when I get into trouble, he's there, boom. But have you noticed anything missing with some of those things that are up there?
Prayer.
What's that?
Creator.
Yeah, that's not the one I was thinking of, but yeah, that comes into it.
Judge.
I'll put that down.
Justice
and judge. Yeah, a couple of people said it, I think.
Judge.
Yeah, judge. So when it comes to God, we think, well, I want to make my own God up. A bit like we go into this hamburger place and we make our own hamburgers. I want to make my God up. So I want a God who loves me. I want a God who's all powerful. A God who judges. I don't think I want that in God. So I'll leave that out. So whenever it occurs in the Bible, I'll just rip that out. I don't want that part there. So that comes out. You know, we get rid of the judge bit. The justice bit. I'm making a God of my own choosing. That's what happens. When we do that, it's a God of our own choosing. Now, when it comes to the scriptures that were read to us this morning by Heather, we don't have a choice in making our own God. Because when you look at those verses that are in Mary's song there, it contains virtually all of those things there, plus a bit more, when it comes to who God is. And so we're going to look at who God is in Mary's song here. Yeah. So if you've got your Bibles with you, you need to have them open there at Mary's song, particularly the kids, because you might get asked a question and you won't want to get caught like Peter did before. So look at that song there, and we're going to look at some of the things. Now let's look at some background to this. The first four verses of Luke chapter 1 there. Luke is writing for a particular reason. Luke is writing so that he wants Mark here in 2015 to know exactly who Jesus is. And to be certain of that fact. That's why Luke is writing. He wants people to be certain of who Jesus is. And we read that in those first four verses there. Then we go on, and it moves on, and we find out about a prophet called John the Baptist, who was to be born yet, and also find out about the prediction that Jesus would be born. It comes in those first few verses that are there. We discover two mums get together, as Heather said, Elizabeth and Mary. They come together and they discuss their pregnancies. And Mary bursts into song in verse 46 there, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." And so that entire song is a response to what the angel has said to her already in chapter 1 there, if you read those verses there, but also in response to what Elizabeth has said about this child that she is pregnant with. So her song is a response to what is taking place there. Now there's a couple of things to note with the song that we can easily gloss over. Steve, when was the last time you saw an angel?
Been a while.
Been a while. He's not game enough to say he hasn't seen one. He's not game enough to say he has seen one. It's quite commonplace, isn't it? You read the scriptures and these angels keep appearing. And we've got an angel mentioned in these first few verses here. And what do we do with angels? And I haven't got time to go into in-depth theology of angels here. You know, talk to one of the elders after and they'll be able to tell you that, all about angels. But some of the wives are shaking their head and thinking, no, they won't. But, you can ask them, but go back a bit. Go back into the book of Genesis. And Abraham entertains three angels. They're on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he entertains three angels. Now, did Abraham describe them as people with wings and that sort of thing? No, they were just ordinary people. Messengers from God. Go to the book of Hebrews. And it tells us there, towards the end of the book of Hebrews, that you may entertain people, angels, unaware with what you're doing. So it might be somebody knocking on your door, wanting a cup of tea. That might be an angel that's been sent by God to say something to you. And so you entertain angels unaware. So we haven't got time to look at angels, but that's there. The second thing to note about the song and the situation that Mary faces is that we have an unmarried woman who is pregnant, and that wouldn't go down too well in that culture, in first century Judaism. In fact, if you read through the law codes, such a situation would demand that death penalty be enforced because of the situation. So when Mary says in response to the angel in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said, Mary would have known that in submitting to the Lord's will here, she would face the death penalty in what she's done. And one of the first points that we note about the song and about Mary is that Mary knows her God. Now, that's surprising because this young girl, probably barely out of the teenage years, knows her God. Now you might want to ask, how did she know her God? Her parents must have trained her well in the scriptures. And you get echoes of the scriptures. Did anyone pick up when Heather was reading some of the connections with what Heather read back to the psalm that I read out at the start of the service? There were connections there. And so Mary knew her God. She knew about God. And so the kids that have given us these things here, and they're important about God, Mary will also give us some things about God that she has there when you look at those verses. So her parents had taught her well. They made sure she went to the synagogue. She heard the scriptures read. And she knows this God that she worships. And so what do we discover about this God that Mary worships? Well, the first thing we discover... What have I done with my bits of paper? I might need a helper up here. Good on you, Mark. Keep you awake. Now, are you any good with this stuff?
Yep.
You don't put it on the walls at home, do you? No, that's good. Okay. So the first thing we discover, and Mark's not going to read this, because you're going to pin it up there. Okay, you pin that up there.
Right.
On that. First thing we discover about Mary's God is that he is the Saviour. Very good. Just stay there. He is the Saviour. Now, that if Mary's admitting that, that means that she's acknowledging that I need the Saviour. I need this one that's coming. And so that's the first thing we discover about this. Who can tell me what the second thing is that Mary says about God? This will teach you to read your scriptures. Okay, you can put this one up, Mark. You won't have to read it now. He's the mighty one. I was really going to change the music, and I thought that might give Heather a shockwave. But and because there is a song that we sing, He's the Mighty, Mighty God. Now, obviously, we don't know it. Okay, I might have to sing it solo sometime. But He's the Mighty, Mighty God. Now, how does Mary demonstrate that He's the Mighty God? What do you discover in those verses that says He's the Mighty God? Yeah, there's a heap of stuff there. He brings down the rulers. He scatters those who are proud in heart. So it takes a mighty God to be able to do that. And He does it. What's the next thing we discover about this God? Or about His name? Okay, you'll have to get them to read it, Mark. Okay, He's the Holy One. He is set apart from all others. So Mary is saying, this God that I worship, He is set apart from all others. He is a holy God. And not only is He set apart in being right, He's also set apart in being the one who has full authority. Another thing we discover about this God in these verses is that He is merciful. And Mary has experienced that in her own life. Well, that's a bit taller, isn't it? And Mary has discovered just how merciful God is to her in seeing her through this very difficult time that she is facing with this pregnancy. Another thing that we see in this God that's here, what's the next thing we see about God? He's merciful. Obviously we're not used to talking here. He gives good things. Now, we might find that a bit difficult at times, that God gives good things, because you might have been through a really terrible week. It might have been a difficult week for you. It might have been a challenging week. Maybe you faced illness. Maybe you just didn't have enough time in the week to get what you wanted done. But it's been a tough week. And you think, God gives good things. How can that be good when I had a horrendous week? He does give good things. When Jesus is discussing that with his followers in Matthew's Gospel and talking about fathers, what does he say to the fathers? He says, you know, would the father go out and give a stone rather than a loaf of bread to their son? No, he wouldn't. He'd give good things. That's what Jesus does. He gives good things. If you read that in Matthew 7, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And so God does give good things. But there's a rider on that in Mary's song. What's the rider on that? What's the thing that will stop that from happening? He gives good things to who? The hungry, yes. So are you hungering and thirsting after God? Now that takes us back to the Sermon on the Mount again. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So are you hungering after God? Because God will give you good things if you are hungering after him. If you are hungry for him. And another thing we discover in those verses in that song that Mary says of her God is that he is faithful. And he goes right back to Abraham, and if Mary had had time, she would have put in, how is God faithful to all the generations since Abraham? Because that's what she's saying. God is faithful to all of us. Thank you, Mark. You did a great job there. I might get another helper up in a minute. So Mary knows... You've got the hands going up all over the place. Mary knows her God. She discovers that this God is her saviour. He's discovered this God is the mighty one. He's the one that can bring down the rulers. He's the one who can scatter the ones who are proud at heart, saying, I've got it all together. Well, God can scatter that person. He's the God who is holy, totally set apart from any other. He is the God who is merciful. He is the God who gives good things to us. He is the God who is faithful. He is all of those things. Now, if I gave you a piece of paper now and asked you to write down what you know of God, what would you put? I won't ask you to do it. Well, you could do it on the sermon outline that's there. Start writing down the things you know of God. This is Mary's God. This is the one that she worships. The one that she's prepared to put her life on the line for with this pregnancy when she knows she's pregnant with the Christ child. And so as we come to the end of that part of it, Mary is captivated by the news of this child. And she rejoices. If you go to the opening part of that, who does she glorify? Who does she rejoice in? It is God, her Saviour, that she's rejoicing and glorifying. And so that's taking place there. And she is absolutely captivated by this God. Think about some of the things that... one of the things we'll be looking at as we go through these next few messages is, are we captivated by Christmas or are we captivated by Christ? There is a difference. And I think most of Australia is captivated by Christmas. But they're not captivated by Christ. And there is a difference. And so when it comes to Mary, how do we know Mary is captivated by Christ? I mean, some of us are captivated by many things. If we were to go out to Steve's car and ask him to lift the bonnet up, someone would be sticking their heads in and thinking, what a great piece of metal and plastic that drives this car. Others would walk up and think, what's the point? Have a look at it. So different things captivate us. Different things take hold of our lives. Some people will hang on the description of the cricket that's being played when the radio announcer is announcing the cricket, and you hang on every word that the cricket commentator is saying. Others will think, why does it take 3 or 4 or 5 days to actually decide who wins? So different things captivate us when it comes to those things. Others are captivated by a baby. And if we had a baby here, you could hold the baby there and say, yeah, Kenneth's got one down the back there. And some are captivated by that baby. I've seen Tawongi captivated by that baby. And Tamwar as well. I've seen her holding the baby as well. They're captivated, but others look at the baby and think, it's only a baby. Now, they're dangerous words to say, it's only a baby. They're going to get you into trouble saying that. It'll get me into trouble. Mary is captivated by her God. How do we know that she's been touched by God? How do we know that? Well, Lachlan, down the front now. No, down the front. Wasn't that what you had your hand up for? Yeah, come on, down you come. You're my helper for this segment. I thought that's what you had your hand up for. Maybe it wasn't.
One yes for that question and two yes, I would like to be helped.
Okay, very good. Okay, so the first time that we see that Mary is captivated by her God and that she's been touched by God's mercy is that she says, could you put that in front of the Saviour there? Is that she says, my Saviour. Doesn't say, well, my dad's Saviour. Doesn't say, my mum's Saviour. It says, my Saviour. It's personal. And you can pick that up a couple of times in that song there, where she says, it's me, it's my. In verse 48, she's prepared to say that she is his servant. So God has touched Mary in some way. And she's responding to that. Second thing we see with Mary and is that she is full of joy and praise for God. Now, I realise some are tired this morning. They've been out late at the carols last night and they're trying to keep their eyes open. You might not want to be doing this next bit that I'm going to put up there. But she is full, pin that up there somewhere, of joy and praise for God. That's what's got hold of her. She is joyous. She's praising God for what God is doing. Now, a third thing we notice with Mary in this is that, and something we all should work at, is that her humbleness shines through. She is humble. Oh, right with that. So we've only got a couple to go. She is humble in what she says of God and how she responds to God. Another thing that we can see that she is touched by is that she is satisfied with God. She is happy with God. I'll pin that one up. We read there of Mary's humbleness. For that he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He has lifted up the humble. And then when we come to her being satisfied, she's satisfied with God. She doesn't walk. It would have been very easy for Mary to walk away from this situation and say, it's too tough, it's too hard. But no, because she had joy and praise for God, because she's been touched by God's mercy, because she's humbled herself, she is satisfied with what God is doing in her life. And the final thing that we know that she's been touched by God is that she's prepared to acknowledge the one that we didn't want there in the first place. The judgment of God. You're doing very well there, Lachlan. She is prepared to acknowledge that God is the judge. He will do those things. Okay, thank you, Lachlan. Very good. Now, we might like to design our own hamburgers. And decide, you know, if I was ordering a hamburger, there's one thing I wouldn't want on the hamburger. And I better not say what it is because people will come and tell me I'm wrong for having that. But there's one thing I wouldn't want on the hamburger. Yes, I want pineapple and I want beetroot, but I wouldn't want this other one. But we can design our own hamburgers. We cannot design our own God. God is God. He is there. And although it's covered up, you've got all those things listed there. For Mary, her God was the Saviour. He's the mighty one, he's holy, he gives good things, he's faithful, he's merciful. We can't change those things. We can't toss them out. We can't toss out the fact that God is the judge, even though we might want to at times. And so as you reflect on this Christmas period at this time, as we travel through these times, just reflect on Mary and what she went through with the Christ child to be born. Reflect on What do you want in God? And does that measure up to the scriptures? And if it doesn't, then you need to do some work with God. Because if you think, oh, I'm going to design my own God, well, you can't. God is God, and he has all those attributes.